Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right
tonight. This is America. Our president is
back. Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready.
Welcome again to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. This is when you get your week worth of news and information in just one setting. So just want to welcome you again onto the show. And remember, our dialing number is area code 323-693-3038. If this is your first time listening, hey, we're on every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you're catching us in the archives. And if you want to catch us in the archives, just go to Soul of Syracuse or EspritRadio.soulofsyracuse.com. Now, on this program, the POTUS, that's right, the President of the United States, and Misty Copeland have an interview with Time Magazine. Interesting story. The FLOTUS, the First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama, speaks at the Music and Arts Fest South by Southwest. And Sony rips off the Jackson family and pays $750 million for Michael Jackson's stake in a music catalog, ATV's music catalog. And five North Carolina deputies are demoted for doing nothing at the Donald Trump rally as supporters punched a protester and then they detained the victim. They were demoted. And the rising sea levels and flood levels could force millions of Americans to migrate inland by the end of the century. We have that this week in court and much more. So I want to welcome you on to the show. You're listening to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. Now, February broke a 100-year-old temperature record by a shocking amount, is what NASA has revealed. The data shows the average global temperature surface in February was 1.35 degrees Celsius warmer than average temperatures for the month between 1951 and 1980. Now, that's a far bigger margin than ever seen before. It led scientists to declare a climate emergency. So February's global temperatures departed from the 1.35 degrees Celsius above that average, and we just set a record in January at 1.13 degrees above Celsius, and we broke that in February. So according to NASA, their Institute for Space Studies, scientists from the University of Georgia said that the flooding or floods caused by the rising sea levels could affect over 13 million people living in coastal areas in the U.S., causing a mass migration. So the Arctic sea ice was at a satellite recorded low for the second month in a row, and is what NASA said. And natural cycles such as El Nino and La Nina events are causing the sea levels to seesaw to tip back and forth more than ever before, is what researchers found. So to start the show off, we need to do the weather. So that's my weather for today. Now, auto braking systems will be standard in most cars and light trucks within 6 years, and the heavier SUVs and pickup trucks within 8 years, according to a new agreement that transportation officials and automakers announced today. Now, the voluntary agreement with 20 car manufacturers mean that the important safety technology will be available more quickly than if the government had gone through a lengthy process of issuing a mandatory rule, is what Mark Roskind said. He's the head of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. But some safety advocates have filed a petition asking the government to issue a mandatory regulation saying that the voluntary agreements are not enforceable. So they think that they're agreeing until the next administration or another administration come in and they won't adhere to it. So hey, that's what they're saying. Now, religion is dying out in America, according to a new survey. Now, just 18% of people 60 and younger attend church, and less than 50% believe in God. That's according to the study. And around the world, people are beginning to turn their backs on religion. Now, this study revealed that the U.S. is no longer the exception. With each passing generation, Americans, too, are steadily becoming less religious. Now, I don't know what that means, and I didn't want to give you too much of the study numbers, but it just seems kind of interesting. Interesting story. Now, Bob Pittman, the president of iHeartMedia. Now, iHeartMedia is formerly Clear Channel Media, had to dash to San Antonio last week to beg a judge for a restraining order to keep creditors from putting the company into $20 billion default bankruptcy. Now, iHeartMedia, formerly Clear Channels, owns 850 radio stations throughout the nation, including conservative hate radio talk shows with right-wing extremists such as Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and Michael Savage and Sean Hannity. Now, all four are accused of propagating messages that include racism, misogyny, homophobia, xenophobia, all of those things, and all are in trouble. Now, Bob Pittman, who helped create the, if you remember back in the days, the hate monger Morton Downey Jr. show, if you remember that on TV, he refused to make changes, and eventually thousands of advertisers have voted from the Limbaugh show over the last 3 years, ever since the 2008 Bain Capital acquisition, the Mitt Romney Bain Capital. iHeart has been unable to get back on his feet. Now, even iHeart Music and iHeart Concerts is unable to save them. So Glenn Peoples with Billboard reports that iHeart revenue last year was $6.5 billion, but they had $1.74 billion in interest expenses that drove a net loss of $661 million last year. Pittman was able to get a 14-day restraining order, but who knows? They may finally break up this big radio conglomerate of Clear Channels, or I'm sorry, iHeartMedia, with their 150 stations. And for the record, it was Bill Clinton who signed into law, or who made it so that corporations can hold multiple holdings across radio frequencies. So this big buy-up of radio stations happened under the Clinton administration, and it was Reagan who got rid of the, I forgot the name of it, the Fairness Doctrine. So that was his contribution to the bigger picture. Now, President Obama opened the festival that is South by Southwest last week with a talk about civic engagement and becoming the first sitting president to attend that festival in their 30-year history. Now, Michelle Obama, who came later, promoted the Let Girls Learn initiative, which encourages world leaders to promote educational opportunities to an estimated 62 million girls who do not attend school. Now, President Obama also this week praised his wife, Michelle. I don't really like the story, but we'll just say it anyway. His wife, Michelle's curves, as he sat down with prima ballerina Misty Copeland for an interview about body image and growing up black in America and affirmative action. Now, the president and Misty Copeland interviewed each other for Time magazine, the president praised Copeland for being a role model to his young daughters as she breaks barriers with her athletic body type. They have shared history as of, I don't know why this is relevant news-wise, but of multiracial families being raised by single mothers and making it to the top position of their respective fields. So Copeland is the first African-American to be named the principal dancer at the American Ballet Theater, has been breaking barriers in ballet, in the ballet world, with her body type. And the president revealed during the Time interview that it was like, it was the likes of Copeland and his wife Michelle that were acting as role models for his daughter as they learned the pressures of women, that women face today, the way they, the look a certain kind of way. And Michelle and I, is what the president said, are always guarding against that. And the fact that they've got a tall, gorgeous mom who has some curves and their father appreciated, I think that's helpful, is what the president added. Now, Copeland, who is considered a prodigy after starting ballet when she was 13, said, "I think that being in this position and showing that I can execute and do all of these things, that it's possible to have any skin complexion, to have a healthy body image for ballerina body," is what she said. Now, the president also said that it was also her ambition that made Copeland, who was a part of his fitness, sports, and nutrition council, someone his daughters can look up to. And it is his sense of humbleness and humility that Copeland said she looked up to in the president. And she asked him, as she kind of asked him questions, as her own principal debut nears, he managed to maintain it, I guess, in a role that required so much responsibility. So she said that she admired him. He said he admired her. It was a really good interview. So it's in Time magazine if you want to check that out. But I know it was important to make sure that we look at these stories and appreciate them while we're going. Now, if you didn't see the story as well, most kids who were just hoping to shake hands with the First Lady, who made a surprise visit at their elementary school, and I guess she was visiting school gardens in Washington, D.C. This one bold kid, John, from John Burles Elementary, went straight for a hug. He bounced off his chair, wrapped his arms around the First Lady before telling her, "I had to." So Michelle, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, took it in stride, laughed, and she said, "You had to, huh?" before revealing to the children that she heard a lot about their amazing school garden, and before the First Lady headed off for more surprises, all the kids took a cue from their brave classmate, rushed to envelop her and gave her a big bear hug with all the kids. I did post the pictures up. And the First Lady, who was making a surprise visit as a part of her Let's Move campaign, also stopped by the class at Watkins Elementary School, and she said, "We're going to go up and check out the fifth day class. They're doing a little cooking, and we're going to surprise them." So she actually went in and cooked with them as well. So if you didn't get a chance to see that, it was a great story. And, hey, just wanted to make sure we put that in there. Now, I want to remind you, you're listening to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. Calling number, area code 323-693-3038. Let's go to the lines. I see the commission's on. Hey, Kathleen, how are you doing? Oh, she must have me on mute.
Hi, I'm
Kathleen.
Doing great. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes. The board was a little late in reacting, so you were on mute for a second. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
That's good. I'm good. I'm good. You know, I figured the Misty Copeland and body image stuff, you were going to come in and jump on that one.
Oh, absolutely.
So Kathleen has, so she has to appreciate this whole, the whole concept of having a conversation. And you see, as a guy, I didn't really feel comfortable with the story, but I appreciate it. Me speaking about it was like,
how come you didn't feel comfortable with it? I heard you say I don't understand why this is relevant, or I didn't really like the story. Which is
yeah, you know why I didn't like it? It's a really good story, but I guess humanizing the president to say that he likes his wife curves, there's nothing wrong with that. Just mm-hmm. in a journalistic way, I didn't think it was for me appropriately to report it that way.
Got it.
He said it. I was quoting him to say that it showed his daughters that the body type and having curves was good, and that I appreciate their mother's curves, so hopefully they wouldn't have any body image issues.
Well, the only question that I have about mm-hmm. that is, what does it mean to have curves? Like, what does that mean exactly? Is he trying to say that she's I don't know what that means. Like, curves versus no curves. So is that ballerina versus black woman?
No,
like,
no.
You know, there's an undertone that, you know, a lot of people see that a different way. So that's why I
no,
ask.
Because Missy,
like,
that's
I think
Misty
I know
Copeland.
What it means, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I took it like this, because since Misty Copeland was there, and she has a small frame, but she has curves, and she was saying, I am also a black woman, I have curves. And they didn't want her as a ballerina because they thought she had too much curves for being a ballerina.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it was the body types that they were saying. He gets to appreciate Misty Copeland's and his wife, and he likes the fact that his girls get to be exposed, and they can't say anymore that you have to be a rail to be ballerina, or you have to be a rail to be a role model, and then fitness and all of those things. He's saying that he appreciates, you know, the curves that they have, and you know, on a genetic side of life. It wasn't that she's tiny as a ballerina, but she has curves, so that hindered her. And in being in a, I was going to call it a sport. Is being a ballerina a sport? Is being in theater, right? So it's a, I don't know what you would call it, but you
it's
are
an
athlete.
She's a dancer.
She's a dancer. Yes. So yeah. And so just
but
as
but
an
I'm
image,
I'm looking at pictures of her right now, and I agree with you that that's an athlete.
Yes, and that's what she said. She said having an athletic frame. Like, there's nothing that women have to be ashamed of having athletic frame or having curves or being a little bit bigger or small. It was kind of a good tone of saying, don't be ashamed of what your body type is. That's where he was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
it wasn't.
I get it, but I'm mm-hmm. looking at Missy Copeland. And
don't size her up. Don't
listen,
size Missy.
She's small. She's
yes.
really small. And so what I see are not, and I'm not saying she doesn't have curves, but she's definitely, she's got a beautiful body, but she's very muscular. And so
yes.
the reason that I'm just pointing this out is because this is exactly what Serena and Venus went through in tennis.
Yes.
Now, this woman cannot weigh more than 100 pounds, 110 maybe, soaking wet. But she's
yep,
got
and
heavy duty muscles, and that's
and they
what
were,
is, that's yeah. Sorry,
yep,
go ahead.
They were giving her the business, man. Like just for her and saying you're not the right frame and size, and you're too muscular, and you need to be more. You know, it was. It's kind of like Serena, you know,
yes,
where Sharapova is doping up for 10 years. And everybody's going, oh, well, the reason Sharapova can't beat her is because Serena is probably doing, you know, drugs or something, like illegal drugs or something. So it's interesting, like, how the take is. So they would probably say that about Misty Copeland, you know, because she
mm-hmm.
has tone. She's muscular. But I'm sure she is very fit. She is an athlete.
Absolutely. And I'm looking at a picture right now of her that looks like that picture. Remember the gymnast, I can't remember her name right now, that they gave her hell. They couldn't talk about her body because she had a gymnast body, so they talked about her hair. You remember
oh, right.
the young lady? But this picture of Mitzi Copeland is exactly that amazing split in the air.
Oh, Gabby Douglas or
Gabby Douglas.
Okay. Oh, you should, and Simone Biles, who's gonna be there with her. I mean, Simone is great. She is a darker complexion than Gabby Douglas. And those guys are running neck and neck, so it's going to be interesting to see both of those guys in the Olympics. I don't think they can keep them both off. So
and
it's going to be interesting.
She's very muscular, too. It's
yes. She's more muscular than Gabby.
Mm-hmm. Really muscular. She looks like Serena.
Yes. Yes. But, hey, you know what? Appreciate or not, but just leave them little girls alone. I mean, I shouldn't call them little girls because they're probably adults now. I don't know about Simone. I think Simone's a little younger. Can't really call her that. But, you know, leave them alone. Just enjoy the Olympics and watch them get perfect 10s and be out. All right. Now, remember the protest at the University of Missouri when their chancellor resigned?
Yeah.
So the University of Missouri is bracing for
the president.
The president, yes. So the University of Missouri is bracing for a sharp decline in new student enrollment this year after a series of the allegations of racial abuse and subsequent protests on campus. So the overall applications for the upcoming year are down 5%, while the student deposits are down almost 25%. Prompting both wage and hiring freezes at the college. It's the sharpest decline in applications from prospective students have been from those identifying themselves as African American, with a 19% drop compared to the same time last year. Now, the university forecasts a $32 million shortfall in tuition revenue next year, and they canceled staff pay raises, freezed hiring, reduced general spending by 5%, and is still expected to cover only $22 million of that budget. So the rest will be drawn from college reserves. So it is never profitable when people start pulling away from you, because every year for the last 6 years, I think it was, their enrollment has been going up. And this year it took a drastic hit.
Wow.
Hey. So, you know, I am proud of those kids for saying, look, I don't even want to be here if you guys are treating everybody like that. You can't get the money and still treat people horribly. Right? They believe in capitalism. We got to make it work. So the former Goldman Sachs board member, Rajat Gupta, was released from federal authorities after completing his 2-year prison term for insider trading. Now, Gupta, who's 67, spent the last 2 years of his incarceration, last 2 weeks of his incarceration under house arrest in New York City after his release from Massachusetts federal detention facility. Now, his release was Friday from the Bureau of Prisons, is what they said. He was convicted in 2012 for passing confidential information about a $5 billion investment in Goldman Sachs by Berkshire Hathaway to a business associate and former hedge fund manager. And I don't think they're related, but his last name is Gupta. It's Rajanam. Now, that guy, Gupta, received a prison term and a $5 million fine and $13.9 million security in exchange penalty. How much money did this guy have? Now, the other guy who was convicted is serving 11 years prison sentence in that same Massachusetts facility. So in February, the U.S. Second Court, get this, the U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals has agreed to hear an appeal of his conviction. So he was a board member of Procter & Gamble, Rockefeller Foundation, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, he just got out of jail for serving 2 years, and he's trying to get it overturned. That guy's going to be practicing securities in about 2 more weeks. That's my prediction. You have to be one wealthy. You know what I mean? You could go to jail and then say, oh, yeah, let's get that expunged so I can go back to work. He stole money. USA. Okay. So the Justice Department is warning local courts against finding fines trapping the poor. Now, the Justice Department this week pledged $2.5 million for efforts aimed at preventing local courts in the U.S. from overcharging poor defendants with fines and fees. So the agency announced that it was sending a letter out Monday morning to courts in all 50 states, calling on judges and court administrators nationwide to eliminate what it said are unconstitutional policies that have kept poor people in the cycle of fines, debt, and jail, and advise how to properly levy fines and fees. Now, individuals may confront escalating debt, face repeat and unnecessary incarceration for nonpayment, despite posing no danger to the community, lose jobs, and becoming trapped in cycles of poverty that can be nearly impossible to escape. This letter was written by Vanita Gupta, the head of the security, the head of the agency's civil rights division, and Lisa Foster, who's the director of the Office for Assessment to the Justice Department. And this announcement came because in Ferguson, African Americans, who made up 67% of the city's population, accounted for 85% of the traffic stops, 90% of the citations, 93% of arrests, and 88% of the cases in which the use of force was used. So black drivers in Ferguson were twice as likely as white drivers to be searched, but less likely to be found in possession of drugs or guns. So they're hitting everybody. Hey, you know, I know this is the president's last term, and I know these efforts are going to stop, but they are going at people hard for this last year, and I am proud of them for that. Because that's in turn, we outlawed peonage years ago. Like, you can't just have debtor's prison and have a $25 ticket with a $50 fine and then a surcharge on top of that. And so the Justice Department is now going in on everybody saying, look, you need to stop it. And this is how you levy a fine and a fee. So
right.
I really think that they need to repeal the crime bill from Bill Clinton. Because that's what started this whole thing rolling, is that when they made it, I guess when you got a misdemeanor that you were able to get arrested, they started levying these fees to make it easier for people to spend time in jail. Before, you couldn't get arrested for a misdemeanor. And because of that crime bill, now you can. So the Justice Department should have, could have had the president work on legislation or somebody work on legislation to overturn that. But that's going to be in the wind with this particular Congress. Now, authorities in North Carolina are considering whether to press charges against GOP frontrunner Donald Trump after a protester was assaulted at one of his rallies in Fayetteville, North Carolina. The sheriff's office, while conducting an investigation into that sucker punch and the alleged threats against the protester, which he threatened him on camera, so technically it wasn't alleged, they went over his speech at that Trump gave during a rally with a fine-tooth comb, and during their analysis of that speech, they said there were several instances that Trump made comments that incited folks to continue violent acts during a rally. And you can get arrested for that. So I don't think Trump knows. Like, that guy doesn't really know the law of anything, let alone any kind of procedures. But you can't incite a riot. You can't say, I will pay your legal fees and punch him in the face. You can't do that from a podium. You can actually get arrested for that. Yeah, it's interesting that they're even considering it. So big up to them for even consider doing it. Now, the five deputies in North Carolina who were disciplined in connection with that particular assault at that rally on March 9th, the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office said that the deputies witnessed protester Raheem Jones being assaulted and didn't take any action at that rally in Fayetteville, 3 of the 5 officers were demoted and suspended without pay for 5 days. The other 2 were suspended without pay for 3 days, and all 5 of the Cumberland County Sheriff's deputies involved in that assault have been placed on probation for 1 year, but the names of the deputies have not been released. This had to be the fastest reaction that I've ever seen people make when that kind of stuff happens.
Wow.
Because you know we were calling that out. Like, why would he get hit and the police grab the guy who got hit?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Forget your diversity training. Now, in her autobiography, Patty Davis, the daughter of Nancy Reagan, told of consistent abuse by Nancy Reagan, who was once so enraged when she caught the 9-year-old daughter eyeing cookies that she open palm slapped her in the face. No, Patty, you know, Patty Davis did not like Nancy Reagan for years. And it just,
remember,
you know, at this funeral that they did that. But they said that she, Patty kept constant tabs on her mother's pill-taking habit, which included, I don't know what this is, Liberium, Valium, Milltown, and Quaaludes. And she was 7 before she learned that she had 2 half-siblings. But Nancy didn't consider Michael and Maureen part of the family. And the Reagan's first right wife, Jane Wyman, and was told to never mention her. Nancy was mean. And they said, when a gardener asked for a glass of water and took one muddy step into the house, Nancy slammed the door in his face, and he was having a heart attack, and the neighbors had to call an ambulance. They said Nancy would not help anybody. And she was a hoarder. I'm not calling her name. That's a daughter. She kept clothes that she hadn't worn for years with wrapping paper, ribbons, old baskets, cheap vases. That once held flowers. Her daughter went off on her. I just want to say that book is very enlightening, as everybody's like, she was so regal and really loved Ronnie. It's like she was a horrible person individually. And she stayed away from him.
As was he. I mean, you know, this glorification of this glorification of the Reagans is just amazing to me. Like,
yeah.
Huh? Do you all remember Nancy Reagan?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, cool. Not trying to speak ill of the dead, right? Or anybody.
Don't even worry about it.
I remember.
They know. You're not speaking ill of them. You're telling the truth about them. So let them work it out.
You
can't lie
on
the dead.
So was he.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So was he.
Yes,
you know,
she sure was.
Glorification of them on TV. I'm like sitting there with my mouth open. I was like, "Were you guys alive or around? Really remember?"
I think her daughter is taking care of that. Like, that is gonna be it. Now, okay, so let's go. Well, before I do that, all right, boycott Wendy's. Farm workers. Is what they're doing. The farm workers are boycotting Wendy's. It's led by Robert F. Kennedy's widow. She's protesting at the company, the home of the company, the billionaire chairman, and forcing the firm to pay workers more. Now, the U.S. protesters is led by the 87-year-old widow of Robert F. Kennedy, and they want the company to pay a penny per pound fee for its tomatoes. That's it. Harvested to supplement the farm workers' wages. A penny per pound, they are getting ripped. If you have to ask for a penny per pound more, you are really getting ripped. I just wanted to say that for the record. Now, okay, before I go into this, just for the record, this is not a bad news show, but genetically engineered mosquitoes are found safe, says the FDA expert, raising hopes that a new way to fight the Zika virus has been found. Now, the FDA found that the mosquitoes designed to stop the transmission of the Zika virus won't have any harmful impact on people or the environment. Famous last words, they don't say that in the story, possibly paving the way for a new release in the U.S. I can see this going so wrong. I hate hate this story because I think that the Zika virus is caused by genetically altered mosquitoes to begin with. So they're going to genetically alter more? Yes. It was not too long after they released genetically altered mosquitoes in Brazil that they started having Zika virus. Oh, yeah.
Why were they altering the mosquitoes?
Because they were trying to fight the Ebola. So they created the new one. I know, right?
Mosquito and let that bite you so you can be cured of Ebola but be killed by the Zika.
Yeah. You can get a different one. So I can see
Zicola.
Yes.
It's gonna be a new Coke.
Exactly. It's gonna be the new Ebola. It's gonna be just a different kind of. All right, now, Sony Music has agreed to hand over $750 million to the estate of Michael Jackson, ripping the family their half of the share of the Sony ATV music publishing catalog, which features hundreds of hits from stars like Bob Dylan, Eminem, Taylor Swift, The Beatles, everybody and their mother. And it's estimated that the Sony contract means that Jackson's kids, all three, with Prince, Paris, and I forgot the little kid, but they call him Blanket for some reason still, is sitting with about $1.3 billion in the bank, and his mother, by the way, she's included. So the four of them are splitting the profit revenue from this. However, the bad news is that the trio is under their dad's own wishes, as expressed in his will, none of them automatically inherit their share until they turn 30. So when they turn 21, they get a portion. When they get 30, they get half. And then when they turn 40, they get the rest of it. So in 2002, Jackson outlined that each child will bank a third of their share, age 30, another half 5 years later, and the remaining portion at 40. But after 21, they can still get portions of the of their money. Now, Prince is the oldest, which means that he'll have to wait till 2027 to cash in. Now, the sale does not include the rights to Jackson's master recordings or songs that he wrote, and the singer's estate will continue to have a stake in his EMI publishing and licensing agreements and rights dealt that he gets like $100 million annually from under just those rights. So under the Jackson Family Trust, Catherine, who's 86, receives 40% of net income, and the children get the other 40%, and the final 20% goes to his charity. Now, if she passes away, it goes to his kids. His will was obviously manipulated. I just want to say that for the record. But this is the saddest story that I've ever heard, because when Michael Jackson was alive, that catalog was worth billions, and now they're only paying them.
What happened?
Michael thought that they were trying to kill him for the catalog, so Sony gets the catalog back, and they only paid $750 million. Media is running it like they hit the lottery. When Michael was alive, it was worth more than $1 billion then. So now it's worth more than probably $3 billion. Think about
it.
They sued over that trust for so many times that I think that they're just kind of, they sold it. Like they got the rights to it, and I don't think there's anything they can really do about it. I mean, I'm sure something, but it's a sad story that, you know, we watched the DuPont family, the Rockefeller family, all of these, the Walmart family. You can have rotten kids, and they can fight over your money, but that money normally stays in your family. But everybody's right. cheering for the fact that the Jacksons, it's like, oh, they were just being greedy and that's Michael's money. It still should have stayed in his family. And those vultures stole it from him in that trust. And he knew that that was going on. That's why he felt like people were trying to kill him. So here we go again. Now, a white trooper faces up to 20 years in prison after pleading guilty to shooting an unarmed black man 4 times in 3 seconds. The trooper, Sean Goldberth, who's 32, faces up to 20 years after he pled guilty in the LeVar Jones shooting at a traffic stop. All right. So another gunman, huh?
I said,
I don't even know it. I don't even know where to go with those stories anymore. I just skipped 2 of them because it's the same story. Now, a photographer who posed as his dead neighbor and sold his house. I should play black or white on this one. Sold his house. He's now charged with murder after he admit to strangling the guy and encasing his body in concrete. Now, Christopher Brian Colbert, 43, claimed that he was acting in self-defense, strangled his neighbor, 57-year-old Dallas bus driver Ronald Shumway, last spring, and then passed himself off as the victim and then sold his house. People are cold. I don't know what's going on in this world.
He said buried him in a cement block. Is that what you
said? Yeah, buried him probably on the property under cement. I don't know how they found him, but he knew that was going to crack at some point. Can't bury anything in cement, people. That's an old wives' tale. It's like an old mob movie thing that you poured them in cement.
Well, that's what I was saying. When you were saying black and white, I was like, okay.
Yeah. Nobody's mixing concrete to bury nobody. You say that's just kind of, that's really high maintenance. Now,
and so if you say cement, you know.
Yeah. It's like, how much that costs per square foot? Okay, now the average American spends $20,276 on dating over 5.5 years before getting married. That's according to a new survey. The $20,276. Now, this the average cost of a date is $43.50, and most people say that men should pay. Now that I see that number, I think women should pay. That's $20,000. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you said the average cost of a date is $43. Is that per person? Or
no,
is that $43.50.
Yeah, see, they didn't really say it's a cost per date. They didn't say cost per Dutch date. Like, yeah, so I don't really – I'm going to go with cost per date. So we'll have to run that past some accounting. Our home office in Vancouver. We'll run that past them to see what they say. Now, here's a sick story. The rising number of people who want to live on as a machine by uploading their brains, there is a place that does cloning of robots. It may soon be possible to upload your mind, the mind of someone who has died, to a computer, immortalizing their essence to a robot clone. There's this Vermont-based company that's doing that. First of all, I think they're lying. But secondly, I think that's sick. But anywho, again, people are still digging up graves, so I don't know what to say to,
wow.
to play. Should be playing black or white, but I'm not going to do that again to say who would want to do that. All right. Now, four white Michigan high school students are suspended for a week after posting a picture with the N-word written across their stomach. Now, the teenagers from Grosse Pointe High School in Michigan had posted a photograph at a party, and they just wrote across their stomach. Again,
that's crazy.
Nobody's learning. Yeah, nobody's learning these days. Now, a Swedish firm is accused of promoting blackface after selling a spray tan that they pretty much deemed, I can't think of what they called it, but it was promised giving chocolate and onyx skin. And they defended the $70 a bottle brand on Instagram. $70 to be black. There you go. It's getting cheaper. Jesus. There you have it.
I was like, that's all?
That's it? It's only $70. Make it hot. That's all I'll say. No. If you can do it, if you can afford it, hey, being black is great. I just want to tell you, get up. You're getting
a
steal.
Yeah, it costs them a whole lot more than that to actually be black, but we won't go there.
Well, I don't know. I haven't asked Kardashians how much it costs them to try to mimic black folks, but that's going to be a whole other price range. That's a different...